there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 165. This is the 165th edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. We're titling this the Retribution episode. I'm trying to get back into the swing of things, trying to beat down the day and the circumstances that surround me, and trying to put out a nice good show for you. Hopefully everybody will enjoy what we have going on today. Just to give you a little rundown, on today's show you're going to hear about the power of the sun, some wooden cars, and Darth Vader himself is going to make an appearance. So other than that, it's a relatively normal show. This is September 19th, 2007, when it's being recorded. Unfortunately, no live show today. I actually had an idea for what I was going to do, had everything set up. Just one of the few elements that I was actually waiting for didn't actually come to fruition. I'm not going to say anything more about that. Hopefully, it'll come to pass in the near future. I'm going to keep that one a little close to my chest. Up until that point, you are more than welcome to chime in with anything else you might like to hear about on the Caffeination Tech Talk Live. Next week, we're actually going to be doing a little bit of a thing on servers, at least at this point we are. How to set up one for your home, how to set up one for your business, going a little bit deeper and deeper into that. So hopefully you'll enjoy that. It was actually a request from one of our listeners, so hopefully everybody's in the swing of things with that one. And let's see, we'd just like to welcome all of our new and returning listeners to this show. This is the Caffeination Podcast, located lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send it to caffeination@gmail.com. Phone number, you can call in and leave a listener message, which we actually have one to play for you today here at the show. We'll get to that in just a little bit. You can dial 215-240-1319. And we actually have a new service that we're trying out now. If you like something you hear on the episode, if you'd like to leave an audio comment, currently they're restricted to 30 seconds in length, so we're trying to fix that up completely, but what you can do is you click the comment thing at the bottom of the episode. You just click leave a comment. Under the comment section it says insert audio comment. So you click that as long as you have a... I can't even think today. As long as you have a mic on your computer and the wherewithal to use it, you're fine and dandy. If you'd like to contact us via Skype, we do not have voicemail with Skype. That's one of the things we're working towards, but then again, I'm always working towards something. Our new Skype ID is TheCaffeination, all one word. So, hey, if you see me online, you just like to chat, you don't have time to talk, no problems, no worries. Everything should be cool. We'd have a little talk. I've been talking to a couple people. We're trying to get everything situated for some things that are coming up on the podcast here, so hopefully you'll find everything that we're going to be doing interesting. I do have one listener comment. One of our listeners, Gene, actually wrote in to tell me that I was mistaken in using the term homing pigeon as a kind of throwaway line, kind of a little bit of a joke there, because in order for homing pigeons to work, I would have to breed them here. And then I would have to give you the homing pigeon, then the homing pigeon would actually be able to find me. So, because that's where, it lived and everything would work out perfectly well. So I stand corrected, Gene. I'm incredibly sorry for using the term homing pigeon. I did not know what I was getting into, obviously. So I am not currently now, nor do I have any plans of in the future actually breeding homing pigeons. Maybe homing iguanas, because I actually do have an iguana right now, but I think that would actually limit the amount of time during the year I could receive a message, being that they're warm-blooded. The winter would pretty much be out. Other than that, you might want to talk to my cats, because they're here more often than I am. But, so I think we're relatively safe in everything else there. We would like to talk to you a little bit about the sponsor for today's show. This show is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. If you're looking for a better way to present or work together during your conference calls, your solution is quite simple. Web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your call, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com and your computer screen shows up on all of their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, training, or real-time collaborations. Plus, you're not charged a permanent fee like some of the other providers that are out there. You can meet as often as you want for as long as you need, for one flat rate. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone, anywhere, anytime without ever having to leave your office. You'll not only end up saving time, but a boatload of money as well. See for yourself, try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. We'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast, which, as we have mentioned before, we are lovingly nestled over at caffeination.com, CaffeinationIon.com. We're trying to round out the website over there, so you're going to see a little bit more articles throwing up there every once in a while, and we're trying to get some more listener feedback. We might actually start up a forum if we have enough people willing to contribute, willing to think that it would actually be a good idea. I realize that that's almost the pinnacle of what a podcaster can hope to reach. So we're not there quite yet, but we're striving. We're always trying to build the community here. We do have a great bit of PodSafe music for you today. First off, we actually have a wonderful bit of PodSafe music from Matthew Ebel. He's actually been played here before. It's requested by one of our listeners, Steve. So thank you very much, Steve, for requesting this. This song specifically was requested, but it actually kind of worked out really well. I was actually listening to CeCe Chapman's Accident Hash, which if you haven't listened to the podcast and you like PodSafe music, head on over to accidenthash.com. I didn't actually have time to snag his promo, or I would have played it here. He's pretty much well known within the podosphere, so if you do have never listened to his show, you owe it to yourself. He runs several different podcasts. At this point, there's Accident Hash, Managing the Gray. There's a whole bunch of different ones over there, and he's a really interesting guy, and I actually got to meet him at PodCamp Philly, so it was really cool. But he actually got a chance to play the new Matthew Ebel song. It's called Lost My Way, and it's great stuff off the new album. However, that is not yet up available on the PodSafe Music Network. This one, however, is, and it was requested by a listener, so it just makes it that much nicer. So without further ado, from Matthew Ebel over at music.podshow.com or his own website at www.matthewebel.com, here we have Matthew Ebel. Yeah, thanks, Paul. Matthew Ebel with his song Drive Away. Let me know what you think of this one.
Sharp, it'll make you bleed. We don't talk, we just punch the clock. We can't find each other in the same old gridlock. Maybe a little escape, what we need. Living your love and your work like a dog every morning. The city's a pain like the latte stain on your dress. Coffee shops and the bar. Maybe it's too late. Maybe, baby, it's
All right, again, that was Matthew Ebel with his song Drive Away from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. And, yeah, you can also find his stuff over at MatthewEbel.com. All right, so before we get on into the meat and the potatoes of here at the Caffeination Podcast, the tech tidbits and the caffeinated bits and food bites, we're going to play a little listener comment that came in. Hopefully this will work correctly, so we're going to try this out here. We've got to stop all that other fun little music in the background, and then we're actually going to play this out and see if this is. We actually got a great... today was like a day for listener contact. It was unbelievable, I got to tell you. One of the most validating things to your existence as a podcaster is when somebody that you don't know contacts you and tells you that either they think you're doing a good job, or even when somebody criticizes you, when they say, you know what, I don't agree with what you said here, anything else like that, because it's a dialogue. Podcasting is definitely a dialogue. It's between me sitting here in my basement, speaking into a microphone, and the people who out there who are listening to it. I mean, because you had to make the active choice to actually, you know, give my show a listen, and thank you so much for doing that. So here we go to one of the first little bits of news here, and this is from our listener Michael in Chilliwack, B.C. Here we go. Hopefully Grand Central will work here.
Yeah, hi, Paul. This is Michael from Chilliwack, B.C., Canada. As you know, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. And you're probably wondering, why is a Canadian calling on Grand Central? Well, I figured out something. If you use the 7-Eleven phone cards, you pay less than 4 cents a minute, which is dirt cheap, which is almost free, but not. So that's what I'm currently using. And I'd just like to call saying I love the show. I've been listening to it for a long, long time. And your coverage of Podcast Philly was just great. I love that. There's a lot of new links that were in there, and I'll be listening to a lot more people on other podcasts as well that I've never heard of before. I mean, that's just great. One thing that you're missing from your show lately, I haven't heard in a long time, was the vocabulary lesson. Hopefully that comes back one day, because that was great. Anyway, looking forward to Caffeination 165. So take care.
Thank you very much, Michael, for your commentary. Yes, the vocab lesson actually kind of fell by the wayside. I think I only ever got one bit of bad feedback about it. They thought it was a little bit trite. However, feedback is always good from one way or another, and thank you so much for all of your very, very nice comments about it. And Michael truly has been listening to the Caffeination for a very, very long time. I get emails from him all the time just talking about different things, and he's always very useful in his commentary. He always... It always gives you good information, so thank you so much, Michael. I'm actually really working to try and make it completely free to talk to the Caffeination here. That's why we're trying to do the insert audio comment at the end. Unfortunately, it's only 30 seconds long, so I think you would have actually had to leave three comments to get your whole thought out there, which nobody can really have a cohesive thought in 30 seconds. 30 seconds is a commercial. Come on. So I'm seriously trying to find a way to just make it work. If I have to actually figure out how to do it on my own on Flash, I guess I will. I'm going to definitely bring the vocab lesson back. I have had your feedback on it, and a couple other people have mentioned that they enjoyed it while it was here. Nobody else, there hasn't been a call to action, so to speak. There hasn't been a, you know, please bring it back. So I have to find a couple terms, find a couple things that I want to put out there and hopefully educate people on. So thank you so much for your commentary and your contribution to the episode. I was speaking to James on Skype a little bit earlier today, and he had a couple good points about different things, and he wondered if I'd be willing to do a little bit more of a technical show next time we do the Caffeination Tech Talk Live. So we're going to be delving a little bit deeper than we normally would, maybe not as necessarily deep as James would like me to go on server setup and everything else like that. I do know a fair amount about setting up servers and things like that, but I don't really think that, you know, me sitting there talking about the tiny little niggles that are involved in setting up domain controllers and everything listening is really good listening. I mean, no matter how interested you are in the subject, that it, when you start getting down to that level, it really starts to blend into the atmosphere, if you know what I mean. So we are going to do like a generalized server, whether or not you even need a server at your house, basically. And then we're going to go, some of the different operating systems that you could actually try. Although I know you do have one in mind, I'm actually going to do a little bit more research and find out if anybody actually has, if any of the other listeners out there have any tips or tricks in using Microsoft Small Business Server, SBS 2003, please feel free to email me at caffeination@gmail.com, and I will pass your information or pass your content along to James there, and hopefully that'll help him out. And then one final little bit of a listener service here. We'd just like to congratulate Fabrice on his recent marriage. Hopefully everything's going to go out there all right. As any married person will tell you, it's a struggle, but it's one of the best things you'll ever do in your life. So congratulations, Fabrice, and it's going to be a great time, man. All right. Might as well get on into the actual meat and potatoes here at the episode. I love having listener comment, love having feedback like this. So thank you, everybody, so much for this. All right. We are going to continue here now. Let's see. Hey, of course, there's the funky music back. And we have a bunch of little tiny tech tidbits to get you off on the right foot in this middle of the week here, get you through and on. First of all, I just wanted to let you know Sunday's episode might be a little bit late because my son's birthday, his first birthday, is actually the 25th of September, so we're having a party this Saturday. So depending on the state of the affairs here at the Caffeination headquarters the next day, depending on how much cleanup has to get done, we might be just a little late with the episode. I'm not anticipating it, but I figure I might want to put it out there, you know what I mean? All right, so first up there, I guess I was feeling a little bit punchy when I started writing the headlines today, so use the snooze, Luke. There's a fun little new alarm clock over at the Sci-Fi Tech blog. It's a Darth Vader alarm clock. Now, imagine two cans of coffee, because everything relates back to coffee on this show at one point or another. Two cans of coffee with kind of a belt wrapped in between them. That's sort of what the base looks. Rather large, easily readable screen, and then a lightsaber in the middle, and as it waves back and forth, the numbers are actually projected midair. There's a figurine of a figure. I don't think Darth Vader would actually be a figurine. Figure on the left hand side when you're looking at the front of it, and there's some kind of odd looking dome on the right hand side. I think it might be a clock radio. It's $30, so it's an interesting way to light up your night. It's already been rejected. I actually asked my wife, said, I think the boy would love to get me a Darth Vader figure for would love to get me this clock for Christmas. I think that would be a great idea for him to get his father, because that way, Luke, I am your father. It'd be a little bit more impressive if my son was actually named Luke, but hey, the only thing, I was actually looking at this, I'm one of those people who, if there's a snooze button within easy reach on an alarm clock, it's a really bad idea to have it anywhere near me. Right now I'm using an alarm clock. I've actually broke my wife into using this thing. It is ancient. It is my grandfather's alarm clock, all right? It's probably around 25 years old, and it has the most ungodly loud speakers that you could ever imagine. I personally like it on the actual alarm. She likes it on the radio. She keeps the radio a little bit softer, so I don't necessarily wake up all the time, but I'm one of those people who could be in a dead sleep. The alarm will go off, I'll get up, walk across the room, hit the snooze, come back down, lay down, and not even remember that I woke up. So if that giant dome on the right-hand side of the thing is a snooze, this probably wouldn't be a good gift for me. But still, it's kind of interesting. Be one of those things. Now, if you actually had to do battle with Vader to actually turn the thing off, maybe you're given like a mini lightsaber, and you had to strike a certain number of points before it would turn off, then it would definitely be interesting. But just moving right along here, I found a lot of people mentioning these things, so I had to just kind of put them out there. They're called horn speakers, and most people describe them as all at the same point in time, gigantic, expensive, and dumb. Now, what I want you to do is imagine the old style phonographs. I mean, I'm talking like the original photographs of Thomas Edison here, when they had the giant bell made of metal there. Now, take that, turn it into plastic. Okay, you turn it into a nice plex plexiglass bell there, and then at the same point in time, you attach the rear end of it, so it's just like a giant funnel attached to a metal stand, what appears to be roughly 4.5 to 5 feet tall. Massive speakers. Now, you'd expect a speaker this large to have amazing range and sound wonderful. Yeah, not so much. Apparently, they can only go up to, under 150 hertz of bass because of this silly horn shape. So, it's great on the treble, horrible on the bass, so you'd actually need a subwoofer. Now, if these are your tweeters, in your mid-ranges, and they're roughly like 5 foot tall by 3 foot wide, and nasty, ugly-looking plastic, what would your subwoofer be? Would it be like an ottoman that sits in the middle of your abode there? You definitely have to be a little bit pretentious to actually check these out. First of all, because each speaker, yes, each single speaker costs $19,916. Every once in a while, I just can't read that out there. So yeah, it's one of those things where you look at it and say, okay. When you were doing the R&D, when you were sitting there doing the whole audience response thing for this, who said, you know what would be a great price point for these? You know, they sound like crap. They're gigantic, and pretty much everybody who picks one of these is going to be like a charter member at the Museum of Modern Art. What do we think a good price point would be? Oh, $20,000 a piece, of course. So yeah, moving right along, just had to kind of put it out there so you would so you could know. Now the next thing we have up here is have iPod will spend. New iPods can't use old games, start the mooing. Like I told you, I was a little bit punchy when I wrote this. Now, I've had a lot of people actually mentioning to me and talking to me about the new iPods. And yeah, I do think they're interesting. I think the iPod Nanos kind of deviate a little bit from the original design. I'm much more of a fan of the Svelte design. I like the thinner profile width-wise. I never did understand why you couldn't watch video on it, but hey, now you can. Unfortunately, I don't think they fit into that tiny little pocket in your jeans, the change pocket that you wouldn't actually be able to get change out of. Here's a fun little thing, though. Because of the reformatting of the screen and everything, you cannot use any of your old iPod games. So if you spent $30, $40, $50 on iPod games, I have no clue why you would have. They have things like that for that. They're called Game Boys, Nintendo DS. You know, there's a whole bunch of things out there that can play games. You don't necessarily need to do it on your iPod. But you know, that off to the side. They reformatted these things, so you now have to buy every single game over again if you'd like to use it. There's no transferring your already purchased games. I mean, it's turning more into a cell phone. You know, whenever you buy a game on your cell phone, like my last cell phone, I had like Bejeweled on there or something. It was fantastic. I loved it. It was one of those great time wasters if you're in the mall or something, and you know, your wife wanders off to look at clothes, and there's nothing really interesting around there. You're like, okay, and you can play Bejeweled for like 30 minutes and, you know, waste the time away. But yeah, as soon as I got a new cell phone, I was like, all right, so you can transfer my game, right? Because I paid like $6 for this thing. I said, no, why would we be able to do that? I don't know, because it makes sense. So apparently iPods are now the same thing, so a bunch of people are pissed off, and a bunch of people are just going to follow the herd here. Unfortunately, Apple has one of those companies that has you. You are locked into their content system, so it's their way or the highway. So there is no free and open market for games on the iPod, at least that I know of right yet. I have seen the old thing, the old style Doom on an iPod, but I think you need an iPod 4G or earlier, and you have to run Linux on it. Yes, you can do it. It's incredibly hard. Every iPod that I've ever tried it on hasn't worked. So we're just moving right along. All right, kill flies and have fun. Another fun little thing from over at the Sci-Fi Tech blog. That's blog.sci-fi.com/tech. This is an electronic Venus flytrap. Actually kills flies humanely, supposedly. So it looks like a giant thing out of little Shop of Horrors here. Has the fun little droopy leaves over the side, and has a gigantic yellow bell of a flower. And of course it has eyes and a fun teeth looking thing. There's a non-toxic bait that apparently is completely artificial that's emitted from the middle of the Venus flycatcher here. And at $40, which requires three AAA batteries, it lures the fly in, somehow closes, crushing and killing it, apparently humanely. I didn't know there was a humane way to kill flies. I mean, maybe just, you know, trap them in under the system there until they die of old fly age, maybe, you know, like a day or three. But still, it's... if you're going to crush a fly, you're going to crush a fly. I don't think they have pain receptors when they're that small, and even if they do, they're flies. I mean, seriously. Unless you're a Zen Buddhist or something like that, it's pretty much acceptable to kill flies in most other cultures. So if you're one of those people whose sensibilities are offended by this, then we're incredibly sorry. But come on, seriously, it's an electronic fly catcher. They have fun little things like this called Venus fly traps that you can actually feed hamburger, and they do eat it. So one of the guys I used to work with actually had a Venus fly trap, and there weren't enough flies around to feed it. So yes, he did feed it raw hamburger, tiny little pieces of it, but it kept it alive for long enough. All right, now next little thing we have up here is actually, let me just make sure everything's working out there. Okay. And something else got messed up. All right. So next little thing we have up here is a little R&D issue over in the Army. The Army apparently needs a better Q to give them all the fun little gadgets. They're now working on a wood composite Hummer. Now, we're not talking the tires or anything like that, but the actual body of the Hummer itself is supposed to be made out of some kind of wood and foam composite to make it lighter and apparently increase fuel efficiency. Now, one of the big problems with Hummers is the fact that they weigh massive tonnage due to all the armor to try and protect them all from all the bombs and the bullets and the other negative side effects of actually driving through a war zone. So apparently if you make it out of wood and whatever other conflagration that they're going to try here, it makes it some 900 pounds lighter. Of course, then they have to add armor, because nothing has ever been designed to drive over a bomb, have the bomb explode under it, and still have a fully functioning crew cab after the fact. So, I mean, I'm on one hand, I'm really happy that the Army's actually trying to think outside the box. But at the other side, you know, I have a lot of friends who are in the military, so I don't really think that any one of them would be comfortable. I mean, driving a wooden Hummer, I mean, I don't know. It might just be me, but if you're going to be driving something through a war zone, I want some serious steel in front of me. I want something that's, you know, going to protect me. You know, they have that there's a crazy foam that's out there now that you can actually drop an egg from three stories up and drop onto the foam. So it's like you drop a normal raw egg three stories up. It has a foam pad that it hits at the bottom, and the egg doesn't crack. Now, that's the kind of stuff that they got to work on. They got to work more on the body armor and stuff like that. And just leave the wooden Hummers out of the way. The only possible explanation that I've actually seen is that they said with a lighter Hummer, not only does it get better gas mileage, but then again, you know, you're in the Middle East. I'm pretty sure gas is a little bit less expensive than it is here. That's beside the point, you know? All right. they've said that since it's so much lighter, it actually rides higher up off the ground, which actually removes some of the immediate danger from driving over some of the explosive devices, because you're not necessarily as close. Still, I'd like to see a little tensile strength test between this, you know, wood foam composite, wood foam plastic, fiberglass composite, and steel. And apparently it's incredibly unenvironmentally friendly, despite what it sounds like, because steel's a little bit easier to recycle. You just kind of melt it all down and reform it into different kinds of steel, you know? But you know, this stuff is a strange mixture of stuff. I have a problem. I'm pretty sure that if you were to burn it, or try and burn it, it would release all kinds of lovely noxious chemicals, which probably would react with the gasoline in some manner or other. Just a possibility out there, you know. All right, get the sharks. Solar lasers are on the horizons, and everybody just wants sharks with freaking lasers on their head. There's now a idea for ultimate unlimited energy here. Tokyo Institute of Technology has created a solar-powered laser. So basically, it uses Fresnel lenses, so it collects all the sunbeams and actually focuses it down into a very very finite and very tiny little beam. I don't necessarily think it's powered. I mean, I think there are certain solar power cells, but I don't think it's necessarily a powered by the sun, but much rather sun rays redirected into laser form, which is still cool and still awesome. But it's just crazy. So it says I don't know, you have to read the article over at gizmodo.com, because they really take the people to task, because there's all kinds of strange science that's involved in this. We're just going to leave it with the fact that it's just a crazy cool idea, and if they could actually make this anything useful. I mean, one of the bad parts about doing a podcast like this is you see all these crazy cool technologies that are probably not going to mature until my kids have kids, so I mean, yeah, you're all right. You have a laser made from the sun. But when are we going to get phasers? You know, when are we going to be able to transport? Where's my flying car, damn it? So I was told there would be flying cars. All right. Next here, we have a little bit more of a serious note, but still in the tech tidbits section. No more crack, no more cocaine. Put all your pot away, everybody. Cybercrime is now worth $105 billion a year. It surpasses the drug trade in the realm of profitable criminal enterprises. So the person who said crime does not pay, if you do it right, apparently it pays incredibly well. So they're saying worldwide data losses are somewhere in excess of $40 billion in the U.S. Now, this doesn't mean necessarily that there's $105 billion extra dollars floating around somewhere. No, it probably means more along the lines of lost wages, you know, damage to the economy, and the like. So it's kind of crazy to think that, you know, people are still spending time on that whole pesky war on drugs, but we're getting bypassed in technology left and right as a country, being the U.S. anyway. I know we have a lot of listeners from elsewhere, but I think you'll agree that the general consensus is the world is passing the Western world by when it comes to technology development. Every once in a while, you get a Google or something else like that popping up, but you have all these different Asian companies that are actually buying the PC manufacturers. For instance, Gateway was recently bought by Acer. You know, IBM, the venerable Big Blue, the hard iron. The personal PC division was actually bought by Lenovo in China. So I mean, it's just a crazy mixed up world here. So cybercrime is now incredibly lucrative and pretty much a pain in the rear end for absolutely everybody. All right, second and last little bit for here for the tech tidbits. USB 3.0 to come out in early Q1 of 2008. Grandparents everywhere are confused just in advance, just to be sure. Yeah, every time you show the spec to somebody of a slightly older generation, say, oh yeah, well you can plug your iPod into your computer, absolutely no problem. Make sure that you plug it into a USB 2.0. And they go, okay, well, what exactly is a USB 2.0? Well, it looks just like a USB 1, or 1.1, rather. It looks just like it. There's no way to tell a difference from it. It's just different. And they go, okay, that's fine. So there is something to be said about different shaped plugs, but there's also something to be said about backwards compatibility. I wonder what kind of message Microsoft's going to come up for this one. If you have the old USB 1.1 ports in your machine and you plug a new thumb drive into it, they actually give you that fun little message, this could work faster if you had a better computer. Well, thank you very much. How about we just work at whatever speed you're willing to go for? You reach kind of an accord with your machine to actually get it to run correctly. All right, now apparently this is going to usher out the era of FireWire. Now, I think Apple itself is actually ushering out the era of FireWire because they're not including FireWire on any of their iPods anymore, which is ridiculous, being that Apple was the champion of FireWire for ever so long. I was actually incredibly irritated when I plugged my wife's iPod in, was going to transfer all the music over there. There was some 20 odd gigs of music that was going onto this machine, and I had to use USB. It was just, USB was so slow when you compare it to FireWire. FireWire can rock out at 400 megabits a second. So roughly, to transfer a gig, it takes, let's just say, like 30 seconds. I mean, using actual speeds. To transfer a gig on USB 2.0, which maxes out at roughly 125 to 150 megabits a second, it takes, I don't know, one gig probably takes you about 5 minutes. So irritating, to say the least. So now we got USB 3.0. It's going to look exactly the same, and it's going to have transfer speeds of 300 megabits a second. So not quite FireWire, but the actual speeds might actually end up being closer to what FireWire actually is. So still, just, it's on the horizon. Be aware, watch out, and probably buy those little add-on cards to get your own machine up and running. And then last but certainly not least, here in the tech tidbits section, hey Sputnik, do you have the right stuff? Yeah, apparently NASA has started posting jobs. Yes, they'd like to have an astronaut. So if you are an astronaut, I'm pretty sure they actually have a couple vacancies given the whole diaper scandal with the chick driving across country. So they probably lost three of them there, but they're actually looking for 10 to 15 new people, new faces for a 3 to 6 month mission, or for 3 6-month missions aboard the International Space Station. Now, here's the requirements, just in case you may or may not fit into this. You must be a U.S. citizen between 5'2" and 6'3" in height to squeeze into Russia's three-passenger Soyuz capsule. or Sousa Capel, I don't know. You must have at least a bachelor's degree in engineering, a biological or physical science degree, or mathematics. 3 years in relevant professional experience. If you've been a space cadet for the past 3 years, guess what? You qualify. And most interestingly, your vision is correctable to 20/20. Used to be you had to have vision that was 20/20. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. You couldn't have had laser corrective surgery. So now they're actually taking the people who've had the corrective surgery and saying, yeah, you know what? You can be an astronaut too. So this is the first time the space agency is actually considering applicants who don't have or weren't born with perfect eyesight. I think it's kind of humorous. I wonder if they're going to put it up on Monster or something like that. You know, wanted one astronaut, must be a space cadet, pre-qualified. You probably go through one of those lovely recruiting agencies that have their filth smeared all over the job websites that are out there. All right, but that's enough about that. We have the caffeinated bits heading up. Just wanted to remind you of where you are, just in case you didn't know. If you're listening to this on the stream over at the Tech Podcast Network, you are listening to the Caffeination Podcast. That's www.caffeination.com, caffeination.com. And you can contact us at caffeination@gmail.com or dial into the listener line or leave an audio comment. Audio comments at the bottom of every post. Listener line is 215-240-1319. I may have to get that out a little bit quicker and a little bit differently. Maybe one of those little PSAs. I'll have somebody else help me out with that. All right, but got a fun little series of stuff up ahead. Hopefully you'll enjoy all the stuff that we're trying to do here. This is the caffeinated bits and food bites. A little bit more caffeine today. In fact, I think we have three caffeinated little blips right in a row. No extraneous food bites or anything like that, like we had the fun with sushi machines last time. This is actually the first one's up with a little bit of self-love. I wanted to point you to one of the posts that I think is particularly funny. It's one of the ones I wrote this past week. It's actually on a gadget that I found over at Hackaday, and it's by a gentleman by the name of Tim Herzl. So hopefully I pronounced your name correctly, Tim, if you actually end up listening to the show. Great, great, great invention. Now, apparently, for those of you not in the know, people are into the task of modding espresso machines. So they'll take an old machine, they'll buy new parts, they'll change out the motor, they'll put different compressors in there, lift kits, ground effects, the whole nine yards. And they do different things to hopefully increase the usefulness of their espresso machine. And there's certain models that are supposed to be better for it and certain ones that aren't. Well, Tim decided that the model that he had just wasn't cutting it anymore. So he decided to, go ape on it a little bit. First of all, he put a great, awesome, sweet little plexiglass lid right across the top, an LED indicator across the front to allow it to speak with the, display fun little things for you. And this is called the Rensilio Silvia PIDPICNES mod. Now, the NES, of course, stands for the Nintendo Entertainment System, because due to the robotic brain that he put inside this machine, yes, he actually put a brain inside a espresso machine. Well, what's the perfect way to control a rather retro espresso machine? Well, a retro video game controller. So if you look at the top of this espresso machine, there is a NES controller. I mean, we're talking standard old D-pad, A, B, select, and start. I wonder what the machine does if you put the Konami code into it. If it makes a triple espresso, if you put the Konami code in there, then this wins hands down. There is no better machine on the planet. So I got to give this guy kudos. This was unbelievable. You mix Nintendo with coffee, so you're mixing you're mixing three of my great loves other than my family. You're mixing technology, you're mixing caffeine, and you're mixing video games all into one crazy ass package. So this is a great thing. You really need to head on over there to his blog to actually check it out. It's called growdown.blogspot.com, or you could just head on over to caffeination.com and check on the link. And it's just crazy. I mean, this is almost along the lines of the caffeine machine. Now, I don't want to sound pompous, and I don't want to sound nasty to anybody who may have done this, but if you're sending me a link to a machine called the caffeine machine, and it's a computer that has a coffee maker built into it, I have seen it before, and actually I was on the forum. It was originally called pimprig.com, your smack your rig up, smack your machine up. And it was originally posted there probably about 3 or 4 years ago at this point. And I was actually one of the people who commented on the original thread. I've emailed the guy a congratulatory email who did it. And different people have actually taken credit for it since then. So I have seen it. Thank you very much for passing it along to me. We're not going to do too many more stories on it because there's no more information about it, unfortunately. The last little bit of information I had about the caffeine machine is that the gentleman who built it did not put a correct power supply in there, so it ended up blowing the power supply, and that was the last anybody has heard of it. But, all right, still great stuff. Thank you, Tim. Fabulous, fabulous mod you have going there. Definitely retro espresso. All right, Energy Fiend rocks it Easy Bake Oven style with caffeinated cookies. Now, this is something that I would usually do, and I'm actually a little bit disappointed that I haven't done anything like this yet. I love the picture that he has linked to this. It says, drink coffee, do stupid things faster and with more energy. I have a fun little thing in the same vein actually stuck to my computer and work. It says, coffee, you can sleep when you're dead. That's right. All right, so apparently somebody wrote into the fine fellows over at energyfiend.com and said this little email. Being an experimenter, I don't write anything down, but here's the basic formula for quote-unquote super wicked oatmeal coffee chocolate chip cookies. You heard me correctly. That's super wicked oatmeal coffee chocolate chip cookies. You take a normal oatmeal cookie recipe, and if it calls for liquid, some do, put in very strong coffee. Then grind some really good medium roast beans into a powder, adding at least 2 tablespoons to your dry ingredients. Now, the guy goes on to say at least 2 tablespoons. That's the amount of coffee used to make a double shot espresso. So I would take it a step further. Why not use caffeinated oatmeal in the mix? All right, now, but still, it's just great to think of actually making caffeinated cookies beyond normal chocolate chip, because chocolate already has a decent amount of caffeine in it. But just crazy, pass the recipe along, and if anybody actually tries it, please let me know. I don't want my heart to explode at any point in time in the near future, so we're going to hold off. But all right, fun little last little link actually we have here for the caffeinated bits. Actually, last little link for the entirety of the episode here is from ogizmo.com, and it's actually a blue label snail makes espresso somehow. Now, somebody actually sent me this link, and then I actually found it accidentally on my own. I misplaced the email for the person who sent me, so I'm really sorry since I forgot your name. Not if I forgot. I actually did forget your name, and I'm incredibly sorry, really. Imagine a snail's shell. Now, only take the outside of the snail's shell, the curly Q, so it looks more like a bull's horn or a big horn sheep, where it starts in the front, twirls around, then ends up right back where it is, but just slightly offset. So it's one giant curly Q. Now, on the one bottom of the curly Q, there's a foamer up at the top, and then there's a plate for something, and somehow this contraption is supposed to make coffee. It has a 19 bar pump, which apparently is a lot of pressure, and it's still stuck in the prototype stage, probably because nobody can figure out how to use the thing. There does appear to only be 3 buttons on it, red, green, and yellow. I'm just throwing a guess out here. Green probably means start the machine. Red probably means stop the machine. And yellow probably means read the instructions to me in whatever language I've already selected. So I just wanted to kind of put it out there. If anybody's ever seen anything like this, please feel free to email me. If you see some crazy stuff, we love talking to people all the time. We are on Twitter at twitter.com/caffeination. We are on Pounce at pounce.com/caffeination. That's Pounce. We actually do have 5 invites left, so if anybody would like an invite to Pounce, please email me, and I'll gladly invite you over to there. We have invites to GrandCentral.com, because Grand Central is the people who run our voicemail, and that's 215-240-1319. Leave a direct-to-voicemail note over there. You are listening to the Caffeination Podcast, lovingly nestled over at caffeination.com. That's www.caffination.com. And if you'd like to contact us via email, yeah, I know I'm doing this a little out of order here, but if you'd like to contact us via email, you can do it at caffination@gmail.com. And Skype is The Caffination. Now, The Caffination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also a proud member over at the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's BLUBRRY. It's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. And speaking of MySpace, if you head on over to myspace.com/caffeination, there ye shall find. By the way, it was International Talk Like a Pirate Day today. Hope you thought about that. Can you believe I waited till now? Arr. All right, but yeah, that's why I waited till now. So if you'd like to head on over there to www.myspace.com/caffeination, all your questions shall be answered over there as well. So thank you. It's been a great episode for everybody. So thanks for listening, everybody, and you stay classy, San Diego.